You're just in time for the best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and a delight to be in the studio as we answer your questions. People call in from all over the world. Our contact information, then write to our callers. On the web, as always, equip.org via the mail. It's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And our resource consultants, they are standing by, 888-7000. And the letters CRI. First up today, Elizabeth. She's listening in El Paso, Texas. Hi, Elizabeth.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Maybe about 2 months ago, my husband and I stopped attending the church that we became members of, maybe for the past 4 or 5 years. And part of the reason why we became very disappointed was because we were not seeing fruits from, as far as the church, you know, growth, new people coming, different things of that nature. But more so, we were not also seeing accountability for the tithing and things like that. And the tithing was a big, big issue that was being really preached upon. You know, just a lot of different little things like that. And so now that we've been praying whether we do stay there and, like, not dwell on those details or we go to another church, we've been feeling, because it's been preached about so much, is that now because we're not really members of a church, we're not tithing, that somehow we can hinder ourselves from being continued to be blessed. And I just wanted to ask what you think about that. Because now you see so many churches that's what they say. Like, if you don't tithe, if you don't give your offering, then you're not going to be blessed. And so I have mixed feelings about that, you know?
Sure. A couple of things in terms of the big picture. You can typically tell where someone's heart is by looking at their checkbook and perhaps even looking at their calendar. It gives you a really good idea what you value the most. Do you value the things of this world, or do you value the things that have everlasting significance? So the New Testament idea has always been stewardship, which is to hold what you have with an open hand so that God can take out and put in as he sees fit. Now, having said that, I think tithing is a wonderful principle because it is given to us in the Old Testament by Moses as a way by which we demonstrate that we, quote, revere the Lord our God always. It's a way of saying, in other words, that we're trusting not in the arm of flesh, but rather we're trusting in the arm of God. We're trusting in his ability to provide for us rather than in our own abilities to provide for ourselves. So tithing is a very significant set of training wheels that allows us to eventually ride the bike of stewardship. As I said, again, that means that we hold our time, talent, and treasure in such a way that God can do with it as he sees fit. So the blessings come not because you're following some kind of legalistic prescription, but because you revere the Lord. Tithing is just another way of demonstrating that you do so. But I think the real issue is always not in what you do, the amount you give, but where is your heart? What made Abel's sacrifice better than Cain's sacrifice? Well, one was given with a disposition of a heart that panted after God, the other with a heart that was set against God. If you have a heart set against God and yet you keep all the principles of tithing, you're still a broken vessel, a broken cistern. You're still one that you said while you were alive, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons in your name? But Jesus will say, I never knew you. Why? Because it was just about legalism. It was about performance. It wasn't a real love of the master.
Okay.
Does that help?
It does. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, you're welcome, Elizabeth. Thank you so much for calling. And Sharon's up next, listening in Washington on KCIS. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I just wanted to, first of all, tell you that I listen to you every day on my way home from work, and your voice is just so calming and comforting, and everything that you say is just so, inspiring. It inspires me to go and search and seek and see what I can find out. I want more. Now, with that being said, my daughter is in fifth grade, and almost daily she comes home from school. She looks like she has been just emotionally beat down. She's, and I'll ask her, what's going on? What's happening? And she says, Mom, I'm the only Christian in my class. Now, I don't know that she's the only Christian, but she's feeling very outnumbered. She's very open to speak up and say, yes, I believe in God. And yes, I know who Jesus is. And the kids laugh. They tell her, it's not true, it's all made up. And she knows in her heart that it's not made up, but it causes her to question. And I just don't know how to, give her the support she needs. I'm trying really hard, and I just tell her, you know who God is, you know you've got Jesus in your heart, and you need to just stay strong with that. But I don't know how to answer her questions when she says, Mom, today I just don't even know if God is real. I mean, when there's so many people questioning and putting doubts in anybody's mind, let alone a child, it's so hard to keep your eyes set straight on the truth. And I just need to know, how can I encourage her? How can I help her to understand and to be strong in her faith?
Sure. And, as the father of 12 children, this is a question that's very dear to my heart. And I know that what you're talking about is real. And the forces set in opposition against Christianity today, I think we should talk about Christophobia. Those forces are so strong, it is quite mind-blowing. And sometimes I say that, and my daughter was listening to me say that. And I was having dinner with her, and she was listening to me, and she said, Dad, you say the forces are strong, but you really don't communicate fully how strong they are.
Right.
And I said to her, what do you mean? She said, well, it's incredible. You cannot get away from it. Your peers mock the very idea of Christianity. Your professors are constantly battering you. My daughter happens to be a phenomenal student. And on one test, she purposely answered a question incorrectly, so she'd get like a 98 instead of 100 or whatever. But she did it just on purpose, just out of saying, I'm not going to capitulate to the culture. But the force upon the children today is incredible. So having said that, we can curse the darkness or build a lighthouse. I can tell you that my children have survived this. And it's not just because I sent them to a Christian school early on, but it is because whenever they had questions, we would talk about it. Now, that didn't mean that I had all the answers. I don't. It simply means that when they had questions, if I didn't have an answer, I'd say, let's find the answer to that question. So what happens over time? Well, I become more effective doing the Bible Answer Man broadcast, for one. But I also am equipping my children in the process so that they know that there are answers to these questions. And quite frankly, I was listening to my daughter during that dinner and thinking, wow, you're better at this than I am. You should be doing the Bible Answer Man broadcast, not me. Because it was amazing the way she was able to respond with gentleness and with respect in ways that, as I was listening again, I was thinking, wow, that's profound. I got to try that. So, we're learning together. But the point is, this is a great opportunity for you to tell your daughter, look, when you have a question, let's talk about it. And if I don't know how to answer it, I'll find a way to answer it. And that's how you become equipped. And now your equipping is not just going to be for your daughter, it's going to be for others as well. God will continue to use the fruit of your study. So I think this is, on the one hand, a curse. On the other hand, it's a wonderful opportunity to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us, with gentleness and with respect.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
And remember, blessed are those who are persecuted, said Jesus, because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you on account of me. Rejoice and be glad. Great is your reward in heaven. And there are answers for every one of these questions. By the way, my daughter was saying to me, you know, I love what you say. God dwells in enough light so that if you want to find him, you will, and he dwells in enough obscurity. So if you don't want to find him, you won't. I reminded her that's not original with me, but that's a powerful statement, and she was impressed by that statement. She said it always heartens her. Back in just a few with more answers to your questions.
One man has significantly influenced the efforts of the radical left to undermine patriotism and religion. His distortions and lies have convinced millions of students that America is fundamentally unjust, if not evil. Those beliefs, although based on ideological propaganda rather than objective history, continue to fuel social and political movements aimed at destroying America and its history. His name is Howard Zinn, and debunking the fake history of Howard Zinn is critical if you care about this country. To receive your copy of Debunking Howard Zinn, Exposing the Fake History That Turned a Generation Against America, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or just visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. We'll be back soon with more from Hank Hanegraaff. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground Church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. We'll talk next to Josh in Missouri. Hi, Josh.
Hey, Hank. Thank you for your show. I've learned a lot. My question is, growing up, my first introduction to evolution was in sixth grade. And basically throughout the rest of middle school and high school, evolution was basically force-fed down my throat. But I think it was the documentary is called Agenda Grinding America Down, and they said that a study was done, I think around 2007, 2008 time frame, that 85% of students that grow up in a Christian home graduate college either an atheist or an agnostic. And my question is regarding evolution versus creationism or intelligent design. What do you think about Answers in Genesis with Ken Ham?
Well, obviously, I'm deeply set against philosophical naturalism, against atheism, against evolutionary dogma, the neo-Darwinian dogma today that, as you mentioned, is being forced down people's throats. But I also have great difficulty with people who are taking their particular paradigm on origins and making an acid test for orthodoxy on points that we should be able to debate vigorously and not divide over. And I think this is what Ken Ham does oftentimes. He takes his particular position and he makes it an acid test for orthodoxy. If you don't hold to his age parameters, for example, then he will say some very, very strident things, which I think are deflective and not helpful to the body of Christ. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Lloyd, listening in Bremerton, Washington. Hi, Lloyd.
How you doing, Hank?
Doing well.
Question I wanted to ask was about that scripture that says God made man a little lower than angels. And I heard Creflo Dollar say that the interpreter mistranslated it, and it should be a little lower than Elohim. I want you to clarify that.
Well, I mean, it is true that to begin with, we are created a little lower than God. Furthermore, we fell and thus became lower than the angels. And finally, we are going to be glorified and once again be restored to a position above even that of angels. But as far as Creflo Dollar is concerned, he is constantly tampering with the biblical text. He is a false prophet. He parades around in sheep's clothing, but I would say inwardly is clearly a ravenous wolf. He is not just compromising, but outright contradicting the essentials of the historic Christian faith. For example, he said Jesus got tired, and because Jesus got tired, he could not have been God. He actually puts it this way, if he, Jesus, came as God and he got tired, and he says he sat down by the well because he was tired, boy, we're in trouble. If Jesus came as God, says Creflo Dollar, then why did God have to anoint him? And then he answers his own question by saying, Jesus came as a man. That's why it was legal to anoint him. God doesn't need anointing. He is anointed. So Jesus came as a man at age 30. God is now getting ready to demonstrate to us and give us an example of what a man with the anointing can do. So Jesus did not come as God. He came as a man. And then he got anointed. And because he was tired, we know he couldn't have been God. So what he does is he demotes Christ. And by the way, on the other side of the coin, he deifies Christians. This is very, very serious stuff. Here's another example. You can listen to him for yourself of Creflo Dollar denigrating essential Christian doctrine.
And somebody said, well, Jesus came as God. Well, how many of you know the Bible says God never sleeps nor slumbers? And yet in the book of Mark, we see Jesus asleep in the back of the boat. Y'all, please listen to me. Please listen to me. This ain't no heresy. I'm not some false prophet. I'm just reading this thing out of to you, the Bible. I'm just telling you all these fantasy preachers have been preaching all of this stuff for all of these years, and we bought the package.
And so if you don't believe what he believes, you're a fantasy preacher. Well, he's the person who is the false preacher, because the Bible's very, very clear that in the incarnation, Christ was undiminished deity. He did not divest himself of a single attribute of divinity. He voluntarily veiled the prerogatives of deity, but he was not divested of a single attribute of deity. The Christian church has always been clear on this, that in the incarnation, Christ is one person with two natures, 100% human and 100% divine. And to deny that is a very, very serious matter. So Creflo Dollar, overall, is a false teacher. I've written about him in a book called Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, which is available through the ministry. But it is chilling to see the way that he distorts the biblical text. Now, we're told in Scripture that many will do that. They will teach myth and fable, and the reason they will do that is to draw away after themselves disciples to hear what their itching ears want to hear. They'll turn away from truth and turn to these myths and fables. And certainly Creflo Dollar is a great example of a preacher that does that. It's very beneficial for him personally on a lot of different levels, but it is very unbeneficial to those who buy the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie, which is something that he is selling on a perpetual basis.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You got it. My pleasure. Back to the phone lines. Talk to Jeff next. He's listening in Bremerton, Washington, KCIS. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. I just had some stuff I've been thinking about, and I was wondering if I could run it by you and see what your opinion was and
sure.
If you had any advice for me.
Yeah, go for it.
Over the last 4 or 5 years since I've lived in Bremerton, the Church of Latter-day Saints has missionaries that come by, and they'll come up to your yard every time I'm out there. And they've came several times because, you know, I don't tell them that they can. I tell them they can come back, and I want to keep talking with them. But, you know, they keep on trying to get me to come to their church and, you know, tell me why my Christian beliefs are wrong or that I haven't, like, received the fullness of the gospel. And so I just wanted to kind of see what my views were, because I've been trying to explain to them, you know, why I can't believe what they believe. And so basically they're saying, from what I can gather, is that there's God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, but they're three different entities instead of one God with three distinct personages. And also, you know, they say that Jesus came to the Americas after he left the disciples and ascended into heaven. And so I'm trying to come up with, you know, something to respond to them beyond what I already have, because I've tried to tell them my views of why I think that what they believe couldn't be true. But
And it's good to do that on the very issues that you raised, because you're talking about the essential of essentials, which is to say that virtually every single theological heresy begins with a misconception of the nature of God. And you're right. Mormons worship three separate, distinct gods, because that is what Joseph Smith taught them to do. He said that, "I've always declared God to be a distinct personage, Jesus Christ a separate and distinct personage from God the Father, and that the Holy Ghost was a distinct personage and a spirit, and these three constitute three distinct personages and three distinct gods." And not only that, by the way, but Smith taught that God himself was once merely human, that God himself was once as we are, and is now an exalted man and sits enthroned in yonder heaven. So they're taking the essentials of the historic Christian faith and distorting them. And the only antidote to that is to become so familiar with the truth. And also the fact that they say they have further revelation. So, for example, they will forward the Book of Mormon as an authentic revelation of Jesus Christ. As you say, he appeared in the Americas. But what they're communicating through the Book of Mormon can be demonstrably proven to be false, because the Book of Mormon has been now disproven both by archaeology and anthropology. Conversely, you can demonstrate that the Bible is a reliable revelation, because both archaeology and manuscript evidence and predictive prophecy demonstrate that the Bible's rooted in irrefutable facts. So they have forward a false narrative about God, and they've got a false revelation that they're positing the Book of Mormon, and that's not all. Obviously, they have a quad. And they only believe in the Bible in that it is correctly translated, and they think that the translation we have is incorrect and the translation they have is correct. None of that corresponds to the truth. And again, what we have to do is become so familiar with truth that when the counterfeit looms on the horizon, we know it instantaneously. We can use the deviations as springboards. So be glad you got a mission field on your own doorstep, and as you become better equipped, you can reach them. Our responsibility isn't to change the heart, that's the province of the Holy Spirit, but we can be well-equipped tools. I got a great little resource. It's called Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage. It's a 4x6 laminated flip chart. It's available through the ministry for those who are seeking to witness to the Mormons. Check it out on the web on equip.org. See you next time with more.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.